You accepted a salary in lieu of the risk that entrepreneurs take. Nobody wants to talk about the downside of it, and I'm sorry to get this fired up. We all do better if business is doing better.
Zach Abraham, hello.
Hello, how you doing?
Well, I'm great. I went down to Olympia so I could ask socialist Sean Scott about his proposal for a statewide payroll tax. How do you think that went for me?
I mean, well, I'm sure they're very nice and probably were very interested to hear your perspective.
Well, yeah, definitely. No, it was fascinating because this is such a big deal, right? And I'm sure if you had a chance to ask the state lawmaker questions about the impacts of a tax they were going to propose, my guess is that you could come up with at least one question, right?
Yeah, I would just say if cost and standards of living are, if cost of living is a real problem, why are we making it more expensive to hire people?
Yeah. That'd be a good question. I was shocked. I was down there. There's like 12 members of the media. Some of them didn't ask a single question. He's introducing this big new tax, not a single question. So I was like, okay. So I just kept asking him questions until basically he stopped the press conference. But so first, obviously the proposal, we talked about it last week, but just to remind people, it would raise $5.5 billion every biennium, and it would go into something called the Well Washington Fund. And it would do that by taxing the payroll of for jobs that you pay for over $125,000 a year. So it's basically a tax on high-paying jobs, similar to what Seattle has. A couple clips. So, of course, socialist Sean Scott, who caucuses with the Democrats, said, we need this because of Donald Trump's one big, beautiful bill.
The Trump administration has pursued a politics of division. Bogus panics over immigration and queer people scare Americans into believing that their adversaries are other members of the working class instead of the billionaires who got huge tax breaks by Trump's HR 1 budget. Washington state corporations T-Mobile, Amazon, and Microsoft took money that they saved from tax breaks enacted by the state legislature and used it to donate to Trump's gilded ballroom. The way for Washingtonians to fight back is to build a bolder Washington, a Washington that defends the people, a Washington that defends the programs that people depend on while the other Washington defunds them.
What's interesting about that, and of course they blame Trump for everything, right? They introduced a payroll tax last year before Trump was even sworn in. They were planning a payroll tax. They didn't push it through, but, you know, they'll blame anything on Trump, even if it's like, oh, we've wanted this tax for years, but now we can blame it on Trump, even though that's ridiculous. But, and it works. It works for them.
Yeah, and this is kind of really similar to what, you know, we were having this conversation to a certain extent last week. And the most frustrating part to me is that the vast majority of people, like I just listened to that one little blurb.
Yeah.
I'm sure he believes the complete drivel and nonsense that's coming out of his mouth because he clearly knows nothing about economics and policy. I'll further sit there and go, you're never going to come close to $5.5 billion, bud. And the reason why is because people are going to leave. Good luck collecting. Yeah. You don't get it. What like I said, in the era of cost of living expenses going higher, why if you really want to do something, right? Why can't you do some deal where you go, all right, we're going to hit you with a 5% increase in tax unless you award your average employee a 7.5% or greater pay raise. If you really care about the people of Washington and not just about consolidating more power and having a bigger strangle grip on the country or on the state and being able to do and force legislation down people's throats, if that's not your aim, then why don't you do that? If it's all really about helping people, why don't we use tax as an incentive for employers to pay more? Why don't we do that?
It's an interesting concept because what they want is they're going to take money from the companies and do good things for you. And it's like, okay, well, why don't you just have the companies? And I don't support them doing that. I don't want them dictating how much companies pay people and threatening them with taxes. But they've always advocated, right? Oh, we need living wage jobs. And then you punish the companies literally.
They're paying outstanding.
For paying a living wage job. It makes absolutely no sense. I have to play this clip for you. It's a little longer and you're going to have to listen to me talk a little bit. But I'm standing there at this press conference, and I think just as a job creator, because obviously, you know, you're a business owner and you know what it takes and the contributions you make to the economy. So every time I or someone else asks a question that is from the perspective of the businesses, right, or the corporations or the taxpayer, the crowd of these like socialists, like the 35 people behind Sean Scott, are just giggling and like scoffing at the notion that taxes are too high, or the notion that there's going to be consequences for a tax like this. And so I listen to that over and over, and I finally just call them out on this very bizarre behavior when confronted with the economic realities in the state. So listen.
How many taxes is enough? I mean, is there a point of revenue where you'd be satisfied with the number of taxes, the amount of revenue we have?
Yeah, well, I think taxes...
You guys laugh, but real people are impacted by these taxes. You know this.
That's right.
We saw a ton of taxes go up.
So what I would say is that the... taxing in and of itself is not the social good. The good is making sure that institutions that people rely on are well funded. So as long as we are still hearing from people talking about not being able to have affordable housing, people having a hard time getting a higher education, people who are going to be kicked off of the Medicaid rolls, people who are having a hard time accessing basic services, taxing as a matter of basic arithmetic is the way that we get to funding those programs. So as long as we have people that are willing to come down to Olympia in the middle of the day when it's not even the legislative session to say that we need basic services funded, that's my gauge for whether or not we have done enough on the revenue question in Washington State. This is the answer.
There seems to be a general kind of laughter or disdain for job creators. And the truth is our state has, and that's proof of it. The truth is, you know, there are a ton of businesses who will be impacted. Several restaurants near Amazon just closed. And the result is Amazon's moving jobs out. There's this entire ecosystem of small businesses that relies on those jobs being there.
Right.
So this sort of disdain or scoffing for the contributions that some of those major corporations have made up and down our economy is sort of bewildering to people who understand it.
Sure. So the laughter that you hear has to do with the fact that many of the people who are represented here at this rally today are working people who are responsible for, largely responsible for the profits that those companies have created. We see the policy outcomes of the corporations very, very well reflected. The policy imperatives of the people who helped create that wealth by selling their labor to those corporations, less well represented. And I think that sometimes laughter speaks for itself. There are a lot of people who I think are quite used to seeing big business mouthpieces of various kinds trumpet some of the same talking points. This is a space where we're trying to talk about what it looks like to invert how our politics look. What does it look like to actually put working people at the center of them, as opposed to big corporations that, as I said before, are quite spoken for in Olympia?
First of all, it sounded like a page out of the Communist Manifesto, right? Seizing the means of production.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they sold their labor. No, listen, I have more respect for the working class, especially blue collar working man, than I do any executive, any politician. So this is not a shot across people's bows. But if I wasn't a Christian man, I'd go off on a swearing tirade. Mm-hmm. And even though I'm a Christian man, I may go off on a swearing tirade after we go off of this, because that is a crock. Okay. You act as if what happens? I bet my entire life on Bulwark. And if it wouldn't have worked, I was out of home. I had nowhere to feed my kids. And I almost lost my house. I actually had a foreclosure notice on the house at one point. Lost a rental, had to give one back to the bank. Do you know how many phone calls I got from the state of Washington offering to kick back some of the revenue and B&O taxes they gave me because they wanted me to be able to continue to employ our employer? Not a dime.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you didn't bet every hair on your body and every ounce of flesh you've got on the business, if you didn't do that, then you don't have a right to anything,
yeah.
Right? You have a right to anything. If you went out there and leveraged your house and sold a car and did all this and worked two jobs and built a business, you own the right to that.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't, I don't care how long you worked there. You accepted a salary in lieu of the risk that entrepreneurs take. And nobody wants to talk about the downside of it. And I'm sorry to get this fired up and do it.
Please.
But it's just, we all do better if business is doing better. Are there are there limits to that? Of course there are. And I'm a guy that pays a lot of tax. And quite honestly, if you could look at me and say, Zach, we're not gonna tax you anymore, I'd go, man, I'd like a little bit less. But listen, if it's gonna make the lives of these people better, I've won and I'm down for it. But when you turn around and you sit there in your non-risk-taking, never signing the back of a front of a check, know nothing about the, and you've got the gall to laugh at people that actually create when you're a parasite at best. You haven't created a stitch of value for anybody or anything in not just the state, in the nation. As a matter of fact, you're a value extractor. And if you laugh at the people that government creates nothing. They've had partial participation in things like the internet, GPS, and everybody loves to cite that. And I go, okay, why don't we do a comparison between on technological advances, how many the private sector comes up with? You know, for instance, DARPA didn't help Henry Ford and, you know, make the Model T,
yeah,
right? And just there is zero respect. They act as if, you know, Bill Gates is the normal business owner.
Yeah.
You know, and then you forget that, hey guys, are you aware that 60% of people in this state are employed by businesses that aren't those? And I know they're like on really big businesses, that's where we're gonna do it. Does anybody who's lived here for more than 5 years believe that's where it's gonna stop? It never does.
No, never does.
And like you said, this is in response to Trump. Okay, well, what was the reason for you guys trying to pass an income tax 10 years ago before Trump even announced he was gonna run the first time?
Yeah.
That wasn't from Trump and the big beautiful bill. Why don't you be honest? What you did is you effectively legislatively seized the means of production during COVID, and you don't want to let them go. That's what this is all about. By definition, governments are parasitic. So the goal should be, hey, how much can we extract to where we're helping our people to the largest amount, but we're still maximizing growth and wage growth?
Yeah, without the host dying. What can we extract without the host dying, basically?
Yeah. And that just makes comments like, if your goal is to get maximum tax revenue for the longest period of time, like if you're being selfish and you're smart at being selfish, that's how, you don't want to cut off the golden goose's head.
No.
You don't want to kill the host. They want to kill. It's just, it's so dumb. I just don't get it. They're bad liberals. Be better liberals.
Well, he's not a liberal. He's a socialist. It's just stupid. One of the craziest things he said, speaking of, you know, seizing the means of production, I had asked him, you know, is Amazon and Microsoft, are they net goods for the state? And he sort of paused and he's like, well, what? He goes, well, explain more. Tell me more what you mean by that. And the craziest thing he's, yeah. Yes, I know. Wild. And then he goes into this spiel about how workers could form a collective and do exactly what Amazon does.
Go do it. Why doesn't he be the CEO?
Yeah, 100%. Well, no, you couldn't have a collective, right? So really, no. Collective.
But of course it is. But you know, do you hear how erudite and how smart he sounds, right?
I wonder what his
stance would be if that collective, who had to be so clearly impressed by his oratory skills, if they offered, you know, we need a fearless leader. Will you be CEO for $1 million a year? You think he'd turn that down?
No. Nope.
He'd take that as 100%. Quick as you make 100%. Your head spin. And the only reason he wouldn't sign immediately is because he'd be holding out for stock options.
Yep. 100%. All right, so speaking of talking about corporate, what are incentives, right? How can we incentivize companies to be the kind of corporate citizens that, you know, they expect of them, I guess, in the socialist realm? I mean, I don't think corporations owe anything to anyone except the pay that they promise people in exchange for work. But so this whole thing came out with the Trump accounts, and we've talked about this before with, you know, setting up accounts when you're a child, and then it'll grow over time, your parents can contribute. And also now the company your parents contribute or parents work for can contribute to it as well. So the Dell family came out, and Trump convinced them to donate $6.5 billion to go into Trump accounts for 25 million American children. So they come out and announce this, and I'm thinking, how can anyone be opposed to this, right? Because this is like, my concern would have been if it's taxpayer funded, but now they're encouraging other corporations to step up and put money in. So I thought to myself, okay, there's two reasons. Well, I can only think of one initially is, oh, they're going to be mad because it's called a Trump account. They're going to call Trump a narcissist, right? But here's the other thing that the left is saying about the Dell family. They criticized the Dells because they said after this, Dell's shares went up. And so they just made a bunch of money off of it.
Well, the stock market's ridiculous. People investing, this is the dumbest, stupidest stock market of all time. The fact that Dell's stock went up on that's stupid.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's not like, I can just tell you right now, that is going to engender Dell zero advantages other than the tax incentives that he's, and why wouldn't you, people don't even understand the way government works, right? Yep. They don't even understand the way the capital works. You act as if that $6.5 billion should go to the government. That's his personal money.
Right.
Why would he not get a tax write-off and benefit for that? That's a system that liberals and socialists support via taxes. Like, again, why would I, do you not like 501c3s too? Is that all a mm-hmm. hustle? It's, and they go, nobody gets it. And you go, you know, the funny thing I've learned is anytime I hear somebody, nobody gets it, say that.
Yeah.
You just identified the biggest idiot in the room.
Yeah, you're the one who doesn't get it. And it's 100%. Fascinating when they're like, we just played with Sean Scott, big companies bad, Microsoft, Amazon, evil. So you've got this rich family that turns around, donates $6.5 billion to help kids like with wealth, you know? And now they're evil for doing that. So it's like, they're evil if they don't give their wealth. They're evil if they do give their wealth. You're just a moron, right? Really quick, before we let you go, you were a month and a half ago on the show, you were saying that you were snapping up some stock after the whole Sydney Sweeney jeans ad. Turns out that AE stock has done pretty well for you.
Yeah, so we're having our best year ever, both in terms of how much we're up and the level to which we're beating the market. But like I was telling you, I don't think I've ever had I've had stock wins that have made me a lot more money.
Yeah.
I've never had any this sweet. Oh. So the Sydney Sweeney announcement came out that day. And whether you like her or not, she's a lightning rod that really moves the needle, right? We went and looked at American Eagle. The thing in a market that's trading at 33 times earnings, where you've got 30-year treasuries paying less than 5%, we're looking at American Eagle trading at like 8 times earnings, paying a 5% dividend, clean balance sheet. Company's not really growing. It's kind of languishing, but they'd managed it well. The balance sheet was clean. There wasn't any liabilities. And you're sitting there looking at that going, things are really expensive. American Eagle's kind of like a discount, you know, deal. Mm-hmm. They're doing this new line with Sweeney. She's super popular. And we're going to go at it, right? We're going to take a stab at this because it's what we call value with a catalyst when you've got very little risk, but you see a catalyst all of a sudden come in that pushes it.
Yep.
And then as the din and the craziness and all that stuff started doing, we started buying more. And we started buying more because we're like, this is going to incentivize Trump people and conservative people to go in there and buy it. Sales popped like 15 or 20%. The stock prices were up 92% in the stock in like six weeks. But it's not just the profits in that short period of time that's so good, Brandy. It's also, they were like financed by wokey tears.
I love it.
You know what I mean?
I love it so much.
There is no sweeter stock win than that. And I can run around and be like, we had our biggest win this week was from Sydney Sweeney and her jeans. Ain't it spectacular?
God, that's a wonderful story. Almost brought tears to my eyes, Zach. I'm so happy for you.
I'm going to float home.
I love it. Oh, good. You can tell by this shit grin you got on your face, as my dad used to say. All right, Zach Abraham, good stuff. Appreciate it.
Thanks. It was fun as always.